By Friday morning, it was too late to take measures for the safety of the franchise. Robert had reckoned without the Ak Emma. The Ak Emma, the latest tabloid newspaper to enter British journalism, was run on the principle that thousands of pounds worth of damages is a cheap price to pay for sales worth millions. And it was the Ak Emma that blew the franchise affair wide open. Robert had been out early on that Friday morning to see an old woman who wanted to alter her will. On the way home, he was looking forward to seeing Marion Sharp. He had decided to forgive her for liking Neville. He ran the car into the garage in Sin Lane, and then, remembering it was past the first of the month, went to pay his account to Bill Brough, who ran the office. But it was his partner, Stanley Peters, ex-Royal Corps of Signals, who was in there, thumbing over dockets. "I just looked in to pay my account," Robert said. "Bill usually has it ready."
"I expect it's somewhere," Stanley said.
"Have a look round." Robert picked up the papers, discarded by Stanley, and uncovered a girl's face. A newspaper picture of a girl's face. Cold with shock, Robert stared at the front page of that morning's Ak Emma.
"Nice little number, that," Stanley observed. "Reminds me of a bint I had in Egypt during the war. Same far apart eyes. Nice kid she was. Tell the most original lies."
Enormous black letters across the top of the page said, "This is the girl." And below was the girl's photograph. And then, "Is this the house?" And a photograph of the franchise. Across the bottom was the legend, "The girl says yes. What do the police say?" See inside for the story. Inside, it was all there, except for the Sharp's name. Yesterday, the franchise was a house protected by four high walls, so unobtrusive, so sufficient unto itself, that even Milford didn't know what it looked like. Now, it was there to be stared at on every newsagent's counter from Penzance to Pentland. The photograph was a head-and-shoulders affair, and the girl was wearing what looked like a party frock. Without her school coat, she looked not less innocent, no. Robert sought for the word. She looked less taboo, was it? The school coat had stopped one thinking of her as a woman, just as a nun's habit would. Now the coat was no longer there. She was feminine instead of merely female. But it was still a pathetically young face, immature and appealing. "May I borrow this paper?" he asked Stanley.
"Take it," Stanley said. "Nothing in it."
"Didn't you find this interesting?" Robert asked, indicating the front page. Stanley cast another glance at the face.
"Not except that she reminded me of that bint in Egypt. Lies and all."
"So you don't believe that story she told?"
"What do you think?" Stanley said, contemptuous.
"Where do you think the girl was then, all that time?"
"I'd say very definitely, oh, but definitely on the tiles," Stanley said, and went out to attend to a customer.
When Robert got to his office, he found that Inspector Hallam had been trying to reach him. Robert rang him back.
"We're both in a spot, aren't we?" Hallam said.
"Yes." "How did the Ak Emma get the story?" Robert asked. "I thought the girl's guardians were very strongly against that kind of publicity."
"Yes, but Grant says the girl's brother went off the deep end about the police taking no action and went to the Ak Emma off his own bat."
As Robert hung up, old Mr. Heseltine said,
"A shocking story, and if I may say so, a quite shocking publication."
"You'll be able to see the criminals for yourself," Robert said. "I hear their voices in the hall now."
Mrs. Sharp had donned a hat in honour of the occasion. Robert showed them the newspaper.
"Oh, no,"
Marion said, and then there was silence while the two women absorbed the contents.
"I take it,"
Mrs. Sharp said at last, "that we have no redress against this sort of thing."
"None," Robert said. "But if you are not too shocked to think, let us consider something. If the girl was never at the franchise, how could she have seen the house? It's too unlikely she could be merely repeating a description someone else gave her. How could she see it? Naturally, I mean."
"She could see it, I suppose, from the top deck of a bus," Marion said, "or from a lorry."
"Then shall we take it for granted
that what she learned about the franchise was from being high up enough on one occasion to see over the wall. We shall probably never know when or how, so our whole effort will have to be devoted to proving not that she wasn't at the franchise, but that she was somewhere else.
What chance is there of that? Mrs. Sharp asked.
A better chance than before this was published, Robert said, indicating the front page of the newspaper. It's the one bright spot in a bad business. If we have any luck, someone, somewhere, will observe that the story and the photograph don't fit.
What can we do? Mrs. Sharp asked. A private investigation? Realize we have very little money.
Yes, Robert said. But to begin with, I'm going myself to see the various people involved. The Wynne's home was outside Aylesbury, in a red brick string of houses. Mrs. Wynne was a surprise. She was slight and neat, and had a pair of the most intelligent brown eyes Robert had ever seen. He explained who he was. "You are under no obligation to talk to me," he finished, "but I hope very much you won't refuse. I told Inspector Grant I was going to see you this afternoon on my client's behalf." She stepped back to let him come past her.
"I expect you have to do your best for those people if you are their lawyer, and we have nothing to hide. But if it's really Betty you want to interview, I'm afraid you can't. We've sent her to friends for the day, to avoid all the fuss. Leslie meant well, but it was a stupid thing to do.
Leslie?
My son. He was too angry about the police to think clearly, angry about their failure to do anything. He has always been devoted to Betty. Indeed, until he got engaged, they were inseparable."
This was the kind of thing he had come to hear. Engaged?
Yes. He got engaged just after the New Year to a very nice girl. We're all delighted.
Was Betty delighted?
She wasn't jealous, if that's what you mean. She was very nice about it. She is a nice girl, Mr. Blair, believe me. I was a schoolmistress before I married. I know a lot about girls. Betty has never given me a moment's anxiety.
What does she want to do when she leaves school?
She doesn't know. I have a notion she will marry early.
Because of her attractiveness?
No, because...
Mrs. Wynne paused, and apparently changed what she had been going to say.
Girls who have no particular bent fall easily into matrimony.
He wondered if what she had been going to say had any remote connection with slate blue eyes. When Betty failed to turn up, after staying with her aunt, you thought she was just playing truant, although she was a well-behaved child.
Yes, she was growing bored with school, so we thought she was just taking advantage for once. Trying it on, as Leslie said.
I see. Was she wearing school clothes on her holiday? For the first time, Mrs. Wynne looked doubtfully at him.
No. She was wearing her weekend clothes.
Robert nodded. He asked about the bruises. Were they fresh bruises?
Yes. Most of them had not begun to turn, even.
There were older bruises as well, I take it?
If there were, they had faded so as to be unnoticeable among all the bad new ones.
What did the new ones look like? A whipping?
No. She'd been knocked about. Even her face. One jaw was swollen and there was a bruise on the other temple.
The police say she grew hysterical when it was suggested she should tell them her story.
Yes, but once she'd had a rest, it was easy enough to persuade her to repeat it to them.
I know you will answer this frankly, Mrs. Wynne. Has there never been any suspicion in your mind that Betty's story might not be true?
Not even a momentary one. She has always been a truthful child. Even if she hadn't, how could she invent a long, circumstantial story like that without being found out?
When she first told her story to you, did she tell it all in a piece?
No. It was spread over a day or two, filling in the details as she remembered them, like the window in the attic being round.
The intermediate time hadn't blurred her memory?
I don't think it would in any case. Betty has a photographic memory.
Has she indeed, thought Robert.
Even as a small child, she could look at the page of a book and repeat most of the contents from the picture in her mind. She would remember what she saw.
I don't want to keep on at a subject that must be unpleasant for you, but perhaps you could tell me something about her parents. Did you know them well? What were they like?
We didn't know them at all.
I thought Betty was evacuated before her parents were killed.
Yes, but her mother wrote and said that to come to see her would only upset the child, and that the best thing for everyone would be to leave her to us, until such time as she could go back to London.
Did she settle down easily, or did she cry for her mother?
She cried because she didn't like the food. I don't remember her ever crying for her mother. She fell in love with Leslie at the first sight, and I think her interest in him blotted out any grief she might have felt. And he, at 4 years old, was just the right age to feel protective. He still does. That is why we're in this mess today.
How did this newspaper affair come about? I know it was your son who went to the paper, but did Betty give her story willingly?
I don't know. I wasn't there. My husband and I knew nothing about it until this morning when Leslie laid the paper under our noses. A little defiantly, I may add. He's not feeling too good about it now that it's done. If he hadn't been worked up.
As Robert was leaving, he asked where Betty's parents had lived in London, and she told him.
There is nothing there now, she added. Just the open space.
On the doorstep, he ran into Leslie. He was an extraordinarily good-looking young man. He glared at Robert when Mrs. Wynne explained his presence. But, as she had said, there was a shade of defiance in the glare. No one is going to beat my sister and get away with it, he said fiercely, and brushed past them into the house.